Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. The following is a paid program, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent the opinions of the management of this station or Hamel Broadcasting.
And welcome to Happy Hour, everyone. Again, as I say every week, because we do this show on a weekly basis, in case you didn't know. So, yes, you can come back next week, or you can just run away with your hair on fire.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Before we get into Jonna telling us who our guest is today, I just want to acknowledge our producer, Franca Berry, for me asking a very valid production question immediately prior to go on air. And the answer was, you let that S wait until we get there. Okay. That was the answer I got.
Wait,
valid production question.
Hang on. Nobody told me this because I was a little late to the party this morning. You had a valid production question you asked our producer.
Just two seconds ago.
It just happened. Jonna,
How
are we going to segue into our guest? And I say, well, let's worry about that S later when we get to it. Just let it come to us naturally, organically.
Oh, now you're expanding on the instruction.
Well, that's kind of, I mean, is there anything else it's going to be other than me saying, and then we'll stop short. I'll grab a production sound effect of a needle scratch, and then we'll put our heads together and we'll talk about it.
I have to chime in with one of our Zoom messages. I don't know if you guys are looking at your Zoom here. This is what he really wanted to say. This is what he really wanted to say.
What?
Is there like a Zoom chat that I'm missing?
That's what he, can everybody see that?
No, I don't even know where to find the Zoom chat. Am I supposed to know where to find it?
You did, does
four
it just
letters. S T.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, I just thought it was funny, Frankenberry. We always wing it, and winging it works for us. So.
Okay. So that's Steve Frankenberry, STF.
No.
Underscore. I'm missing whatever it means. So anyway, so Jonna, so who do we have today?
All right. So with this fabulous introduction, we are going to have a little bit of a different show today, and I'm looking forward to it because we are talking to Lloyd Thompson. Now, aside from the fact that we're going to love him instantly because he's from Australia and he has an Australian accent. He has also written a book, and he has a company called VOODOO.com, I believe it is. He's written a book called 9 Ways to Leave Your Day-to-Day Operations. So he is a business guy who's going to speak directly to those people who listen to us who are business owners in their own right. And I know there are a lot of us out there, to talk about how to kind of reshape how you do things in your business so that you can stop hating it and love it a little more. I don't know if I'm the only one who can relate, but I hope there are others out there who can do that. So I love when we get real practical, usable tips, and we're going to get that a little later on in the show from Lloyd Thompson.
Well, at least, Jonna, there is one thing that you never have to worry about when it comes to your business and your business model, is because you're always going to have somebody that needs you.
That is true.
That's good from an overall business standpoint, but
it just means the world is full of evil and Jonna has to deal with it. That's all. But still, there's always going to be a customer.
Oh, there's the bright side. I was missing it. Thanks for pointing it out.
Right.
That's funny. I think her point is that she's too much need and there's too much pressure on her. So
yes. And I misspoke. His website isn't Voodoo. I think that I have Voodoo on the brain. It's Virtual D-O-O. So he's got a whole bunch of tips there too. But we'll get into it with him in a short minute. Meanwhile, do you want to hear my latest complaint about life?
No, please.
Oh, please, please do. I mean, we took like a week off and I've been missing it.
I'm sure. So this one's kind of, it's a little gross.
Oh, good.
It's kind of a little gross. I thought about not sharing it because it's that sort of gross.
Well, but, and you never share that kind of stuff anyway, because, you know, you just like make throw up noises.
Which are, those kind of noises are also gross. But originally I was going to complain about something else, and then I segued in my own head to this. So as you guys know, the question I get more and more from every single person in my life these days, can you guys guess what question you think anybody in my life asks me at any given point?
God, you look so amazing.
No, no, thank you, no.
Who was your barber?
Nope, nope, guess again.
How do you wear such high heels?
No, it has to do with cats. And specifically, the question that I get asked by most people, and I get asked a lot in person, online.
How do you deal with all the cat poop?
Nope, nope.
Oh.
The question is, exactly how many cats do you have?
I have asked this many times, and you refuse to answer me.
And, exactly. And apparently all these people are on Carol's side.
And right. And Carol knows how much I love her like a sister. And if I'm not telling her, I sure as ain't telling anybody else. So including Mama Nance. So I just skip that question, or I send a funny little gif, or is it gif or jif? Can we clear that up right now?
I do love peanut butter, though.
I think it can be both. And yes, I'm with Carol. Definitely jif for peanut butter, but it can be gif or jif for the other.
I go gif. So I don't answer the question. Well, anyway.
It's kind of like somebody asking her how old she is, Frankie Berry.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. No, good point.
Never going to reveal that. So as you know, and as most people know, which kind of prompts the question, in the not too distant past, I acquired three little kittens because they were accidentally born in my
house. The mother was accidentally let into your house, and you're the only person on earth I've ever heard that happen to.
Yes, which is ridiculous. And so these three little kittens were accidentally by proxy born into my house. And so I've never had kittens from birth before, so I really didn't know what to expect. But come to find out, they are very precocious, like extremely precocious. And so that's a whole other level of crazy cat lady dumb that I've been dealing with. And so here comes the gross part, which is it's kind of a, what do you call it? Flashback. So a couple years ago, my grandma on my dad's side passed away. And as grandmas do, and you know, don't cry for me, Argentina, because she was almost 98. So good on her. Mm-hmm. But when she passed, when many of my loved ones unfortunately passed, including my Reese, whose birthday, by the way, is today, the day we're recording this. He would have been today, I know. I'm not going to talk anymore about it.
All right, okay. La, la, la.
But when grandma passed, there's a website, excuse me, that I go to that makes beautiful jewelry or mementos that you can incorporate ash into, whether it's from, you know, a human or an animal. So when I did that for my grandmother, they send you a kit, and the kit includes, you know, because you have to send them the ashes, a plastic straw-like spoon, for lack of a better word. It actually looks like a straw that has a spoonish tip at the end. And they send you that with the kit because you need to collect ashes and you need to put them in a small vial that they also send you. So they send it all to you so that you can pack it up and do what you got to do. So when my grandmother passed, now this is going back to 2023, when I sent the kit off, I had this straw spoon thing. And I said to myself, it didn't feel respectful to like throw it away because it had touched, you know, her ashes. And I'm like, what do I do with this thing now? And I was trying to think of something to do with this straw spoon. So I went with I have like some big potted plants in my house. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put it in the dirt of one of these potted plants because that's natural and it's not throwing it away. And it felt
a little bit of a burial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I did. That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And it has remained there for, you know, the better part of 2 years, 2.5.
Frankenberry, you see where it's going?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
I hate you both right now. So I didn't think anything of it until the other morning when I wake up now. So because of these additional cats, as you guys know, I have a cat suite with the original bunch of cats. And now I have cats free ranging downstairs in my house because there's just no more room at the end. And at the end, and I get up every morning and I have a routine, and it takes 45 minutes to an hour where I have to take care of business and feed and give treats and clean bowls and clean litter. And I do all this for an hour. I know. And I get up an hour earlier to do it. And I get up the other morning and the little mini cats, mini kittens, are having a grand old time. They are running around the house and they are zipping all, and they're jumping on the poker table. They're jumping on the furniture, which I now have covered with all manner of cat proof blankets, or else I wouldn't have any furniture left. And I see out of the corner of my eye, something blue. Which is the same color, incidentally, as this straw spoon that once held my grandmother's remains, blitzing around the house. Like, boom, like somebody had just got a trophy, like a dog with a bone, like they had just uncovered a buried treasure. A buried treasure that was worth a lot of money. And so I'm chasing them around. I'm trying to figure this out. I finally did something. I shook a treat can or something to get their attention away from the thing they were so proud to be playing with. And lo and behold, it's my grandmother's ash spoon straw that they had.
Ash
used.
Spoon straw.
Ash spoon straw.
Well said.
Straw spoon. They had somehow...
Now, I'm not going to tell you that stands for ass. All right, I'm not going to mention.
Wow.
That.
Okay, that was like something. That was a Beavis and Butthead line. That was pretty good that you figured that out like that. So yeah, so they had unearthed it somehow in the night. They had played with it so much so that it's very frayed on one end, and they were very proud of what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which left me with another dilemma. Now it's like I have this same dilemma all over again from 2 years ago when I used it to collect her ash and send it to the... I'm like, what do I just put it back? Do I just put it back? So that's what I decided to do. I just...
But you got to bury it deeper or under the dirt.
Well, you should have told me that. You should have told me that because I didn't just wake up one morning this week to, you know, cats who were excited to be playing with a spoon straw.
Oh, no.
I woke up two mornings this week. Like, right. They're like homing pigeons.
Yes, they are. That's because it's their toy. You presented them unintentionally with a new toy. They found it. When cats find things and they start suddenly discovering that they know how to play hockey, that's theirs now. That's their new discovery. Plus, even you said, and I could hear it in Carol's voice when you said, I didn't really know what to do with the spoon straw, you know, and all of a sudden you're getting all superstitious and stuff just because the spoon straw for 1 second touched a few ashes of your grandma and you're getting all worried about it. But how about think about it this way? Take it to the next step and say, grandma's having a heck of a freaking time right now.
Frankenberry.
She called the cats back. And she said, take me back. I don't want to be buried with a plant, for
God's
sake.
That is such a great point.
And now she's having fun.
Your grandmother's got the post-mortem zoomies.
That's it, man. She's got three cat friends knocking her all around the house. And she gets to check out your place, Jonna.
Oh, the post-mortem zoomies.
There you go.
Guys, I am so, this was better than a therapy session. I am so glad, because I was feeling blasphemous that, oh my God, I allowed these little kittens to find my grandmother's ash spoon straw and they were messing with it. And I felt guilty. Now I don't.
She's been hoping for this for 2 months.
I know, and I just had to put the word ass in Jonna's sentence there, and it just totally changed the meaning of it.
Oh, Frankenberry, that's brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. So because I did now move that ash spoon straw to a room that they can't access, and now maybe I should just move it back.
Yes, give it to them. Let them have some fun. Grandma, too.
Frankenberry.
Plus, you got it. You know right now that your grandma somewhere is laughing her butt off because you just said, and I let the cats find her ass. Okay, her ass spoon straw.
There well, you go. Oh, this is a much better spin than the way I was feeling. I'm so grateful to you both.
Oh.
For uplifting me. So they're probably, well, I get no, because I did lock it behind a door. I was going to say, you know, they could be playing with her ash spoon straw right now, but no, because I did. I took their fun away.
Wah, wah.
Wah, yeah. Wah.
You're just a meanie.
I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not. All right.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
All right. So I am feeling so overwhelmed by the current cat situation in my house that I purposely, something happened and I purposely hid it from the rest of the world. I did not go on Facebook. I did not contact anybody. I didn't do anything. I just secret. It's now I've got a secret. I've got a secret. I've got like a secret problem that I'm dealing with. And that is.
And is.
I trapped another one. And I trapped another one because there were a few outside left and winter is coming and I got one and I brought it to the vet and everything is all good. But once I do that, getting it, finding it another home is hard for me. It's like I can't let go. I'm invested. I know.
You get them fixed and then you let them heal and then release them.
Oh, right.
Or the at least twice now that I've sent you a post of somebody looking for a kitten to adopt and you give me this like little smile and a heart like thank you. I'm like, she's not gonna contact them.
Yeah, and that's your bed there, Spielborg. I mean, Carol's offering you help here, and you're right now lamenting the fact that you took in another, but also at the same time, you're figuring out to yourself, how can I justify not letting it go?
And so, okay, this is what I want for Christmas. This is what I want. You guys figure it out. Okay, it's not going to cost you anything. Here's what I want.
Okay.
And Carol knows how to get into my house. So you guys are going to find somebody who's a cat person, a very loving cat person, who's going to line up some very loving people who love and need cats. And you're just going to help that person take the cats when I'm not there to watch and give them loving homes. And I'm just going to come back and my house is going to be sparkling clean and there's going to be no cats.
All right. Well, what we're going to do then is we're going to contact Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, and we're going to figure out a way to have those two guys break into your home to steal cats.
Okay, right. And then here's a follow-up to that. And then every, like, month, you have to write me a fake letter from the cats. They go, hey,
gotcha.
We're really glad that your friends took us and gave us to a new home. We're very happy here. Oh, no.
All right. I think you got to stop trapping. You can't, it's not sustainable.
It's not. But like when they come to my door and it's cold out and they're looking and they're crying and they put their little paw on my sliding glass door, it's like, this is torture for me.
Right. But you then next step after taking them to the vet, because that is a good thing to do, you need to be available for when you have a friend that calls you and says, I know somebody who's looking for a cat. Yeah, and Carol, too.
She has done that. She has forwarded twice to prospects. Yeah, more than once.
She just said that.
I know.
You're already trying to pretend that it doesn't exist, that she does that in real time, like 30 seconds ago. This is the issue. This is the issue you've got.
Stop talking to me in all caps.
With exclamation points. You're welcome.
All right, fine. All right. That's going to be one of my New Year's resolutions. But right now, because
so here's what you need to do. Maybe this is going to lead to something good. Maybe this whole experience and accumulating this. How many is it now? Cats?
I'm not going to say.
Nice try, Carol.
You could write a book about 9 ways not to become a crazy cat lady.
Oh, I could smell the smoke there, Pesky.
That was good.
You were working that one. You were trying.
No, and she did good.
Jonna was going to skip right over it, too.
Mm-hmm.
She was going right to the punch.
I reeled it right back in.
She totally did. And she was going to try to get me to say, like, there are nine cats to help her with the Sagu, but I wasn't going there. I knew she could do it on her own, and she did. So she kudos to you.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Coach. Sometimes thanks. You just got to let them play.
Yeah. Very nicely done. So with that, another amazing Sagu. When we come back from the break, we are going to be talking with Lloyd Thompson. He is the creator of the Virtual Doo.com website, and he's written a book called 9 Ways to Leave Your Day-to-Day Operations. That doesn't mean quit your job. That means to turn your vision into exactly what you envisioned it to be. And he's got 9 tips on how to do it. We're going to talk to him all about that. If you are a business owner, an entrepreneur, thinking about coming one, you're not going to want to miss our talk with Lloyd Thompson when we return.
All right. Number nine. We'll be right back. It's John Spillboard. It's Carol Pesci. It's this fella. I've got a couple of cats, too, by the way, but I'll admit the number. It's 2.
Normal number.
Yes, it's 2. And my sister has 3, so sometimes I'll say 5. All right, we'll be back. Thanks for joining.
Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jenna and Carol.
And welcome back, everyone, to Happy Hour. Here it is, John Spillboard. It is Carol Pesci. This fella as well. I'm not really all that important here. It's time to get to our guest in segment number 2. And we are going to be talking with Lloyd Thompson today.
Yes, we are. And before I tell you about our guest, Lloyd, I want to tell you that every so often, we like to torture people and make them get up extra early to be on with us.
I've already commended him, by the way. I'm being quite a trooper.
He really is, because you'll soon find out, everyone within earshot, that Lloyd is coming to us from Sydney, Australia. And he's agreed to get up in the wee hours, along with the kangaroos, to be on with us today here in New York. And we love that. And then every once in a while, we like to have guests that just have fabulous speaking voices. And that just makes our day. And it's going to make yours, too. So without further ado, we are speaking today with Lloyd Thompson, who is the founder of Virtual Doo. And that's spelled like Scooby, D-O-O. And the author of this book, Caught My Eye. I'm in the middle of the audio version and I am loving it. The book is entitled 9 Ways to Leave Your Day-to-Day Operation. Lloyd's company liberates, here's what they do. They liberate busy business owners from their daily operational management so they can focus on their passions, strategy, and shaking the trees for new business. Having spent over 20 years of service in the corporate world, Lloyd discovered an opportunity to provide, quote, director of operations services on a fractional basis to smaller non-corporates that are more nimble and interesting. In other words, you guys, he helps small businesses see their vision through to the end. And he's going to explain how this can happen, because right now, if you are a business owner or thinking about being an entrepreneur, he's going to tell you what you need to know before you need to know it. I speak from experience. Lloyd Thompson, welcome to the show.
Wow, it's great to be here. And you know, I've never heard someone say it's D-O-O like Scooby-Doo. I'm going to take that. That's absolutely brilliant.
Only Jana.
You can use it.
I'm taking it.
Definitely. So I have to tell you, sometimes, you know, that there's a phrase that goes something like, I don't know, doctor, heal thyself or something to that effect. And every once in a while, it applies to the guests of this show, because Lloyd, I am an entrepreneur. Carol is an entrepreneur. And I'm sure I found you by some sort of divine intervention when I found your book, which I am in the middle of the audio version and loving it. So will you please tell our audience, because look, these days, you got people who go on TikTok, they become entrepreneurs. They go on Instagram, they become entrepreneurs. Everybody wants to work for themselves without realizing that instead of freeing up your time, it can really take a lot of your time.
Yeah. Now,
tell us about, first of all, what you do and how this book is going to help people like me.
Yeah, so we help busy business owners, typically with teams of 5 to 25 staff get out of the day-to-day operations. And how do we do that? We put someone into their team who's going to look and see like what's happening in their operation. Like, why is the founder stuck in the rhythms of the day? Like, why can't they extract themselves? Mm-hmm. And they're going to work with that team for a month and just see what's happening, what's wrong. And then at the end of a month, they're going to put together a plan and say, look, this is how you, the founder, get unstuck. This is how you get your operations under control. And then from that point on, they can either go ahead and do it themselves and remediate with the advice they've been given, or they can use my team and they'll come in and help execute that plan to get the founder out of the day-to-day ops, because that's the pain. That's they're stuck in there doing all the things. And we'll be there in a month-to-month basis until they're happy, and that can be we've either trained some up in the team to replace us, or they've got now the budget to hire someone who's like a full-time operator who will come in and do all the things that we've set up for them to help liberate that founder. And then the book, how did that come to existence? I think after I'd been doing this, started this business and ran this for a few clients, I just found that there was a pick and mix of frameworks that I was using time and time again for clients to solve similar problems. Mm-hmm. And I did a webinar on this called, it was actually 9 ways to exit the day-to-day operations. Mm. And someone said to me afterwards, you know, you could turn that into a book. I think that's like, there's a good lot of material there that people would find handy. And they connected me with a publisher, and the first thing a copywriter said is, can we call that 9 Ways to Leave? And I said, why is that? And she said, oh, it just reminds me of that song, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover by Paul Simon. And I said, right, that's it. It's got to be 9 Ways to Leave Your Day-to-Day Operations. And so this book really is, it's a short book. I think it's 85 pages last time I checked. And it's just showing the founders the blind spots that keep them sucked into the operations. And ultimately, the solution really is at the highest level, who, not how. Like, who can you get to run these rhythms, to do these things so it's not you? And if you were to hire that person to do those things, what are they actually going to do?
Lloyd, this is Carol. I'm sorry, John. I have a quick question for you. You've said it multiple times. When we come in, do you physically have to be on site to help someone, or do you do this through FaceTime or Zoom or phone calls?
Oh, great question. Thank you. Yeah, this is a fully remote business. And actually, so that means, yeah, they're on Zoom. And okay. I have operators, as I call them, operators. I don't call them COOs or DOOs or anything like that anymore. I have folks who are in my team in Australia, in the UK, and actually in the US as well. And it's fully remote. So if you have a business that can be run online, as in, you know, your leadership team, the folks who are working for the founder can be communicated with and just coordinated with online via Teams or Zoom or whatever you use, chat, then we can support that business. And that represents a huge multitude of businesses now. And I think thanks to the global pandemic, that seems to be the pattern that more and more businesses are very comfortable with just being run fully remotely. And so that's how we can help.
And it does open up a wider market, which works both ways, right? So you can find the right clients and the right clients can find you. But let me back you up for a minute, because as a business owner, your book is really resonating with me. And I'm just wondering if, you know, the other story about you put a frog in a pot of water and you turn up the heat and the frog doesn't know enough to get out before he's like boiled. Okay. A lot of entrepreneurs probably feel the same way. And then you come in, the way I'm reading this, right? You come in, the problem has been created. You come in and solve it. Is there a way for someone to maybe read this book before they're in that hot water to avoid the problem? Because you don't see it happening. When I say you, I just mean anybody, Lloyd.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see the ways you're getting sucked into the stuff that you never thought you would get sucked into until you're totally sucked in. So how do we, is there a way that this book could actually help you on the front end, or do you have to be desperate?
I love that question.
That's a great question.
The boiling frog analogy. Yeah, it's true. If you had read this before you got to the level of pain of being sucked in an operational chaos, you'd have been able to do something about it and seen it coming and put the right rhythms and things in place to stop you getting completely sucked in. So if you're already, if you feel like you're starting to get sucked into the day to day and you can no longer have time to focus on strategy and relationships and your passions, and you can't, you're not working on growing your business and you feel like that that's starting to happen, then this book is definitely something you should consider reading. But what I find is, yes, people come to me and they're already well in boiling point, you know? And so that means if they've got a team of, say, less than five staff, what happens is the business owner is trying to run everything themselves. I think round about five plus staff, if they don't yet have someone who is helping relieve them from the daily operational challenges, that's where the pain starts to kick in, and they've realized, oh, hang on, I'm really struggling here, and they're already well cooked at that point. And if they've got up to 10, there's just no way they're going to have time to focus on strategy, relationships, passions, and new business.
That's true. I do have a staff of 10, but this is this isn't about me, but it's all about me. So
but yeah, I don't. Hey, and I haven't been paid in weeks, by the way.
Stop. So the other thing that I, you know, one of the things that I haven't gotten to yet in your book, but it's in the back of my mind, is, okay, so let's say you're a business owner, you're just getting started, or you're well oiled, and you want to free up some of your time. Is there a better way or better ways to motivate the staff that now is now going to take over some of your stuff, right? They got to be motivated, because I think, and maybe you guys don't agree with this, but tell me if you do, like, some people love being 9 to 5. They love being 9 to 5 because they love their paycheck lands in their bank account every 2 weeks, like clockwork. They come in at 9, they leave at 5. They don't really have to think. And I think some of the principles in your book, Lloyd, I'm saying to myself, this would require people to do some thinking. Mm-hmm. And how do we motivate people to want to think?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. I mean, it's rare that anyone's going to care as much as the founder or business owner about their business. And if you think that the team are just going to have that motivation within them to care about your business more than you, the founder, it's just not true. And that's unfortunate that many people think, I'll just pay them money and they'll be motivated and pumped to do the thing just like I do. And it's just not true. I think there's two things. One is when we work with a business, the first thing we do actually is just speak to the team and find out what they see, like what are the challenges that they've had, and find out what's working and what's not working. And what that does, apart from listening to them and seeing what they've already seen, is get buy-in from the team. And that might sound really obvious, but quite often the business owner has been, they've been running their operation for a long time, and things like this might have come up a long time ago and it's been neglected, and the team have then thought, well, I'm just not going to bring that thing up again. And so they're not bought in as much as they were before, and so they just go back into their box and do the thing. So that's one thing, identifying the pain points and listening to them. The other thing is, you've got you might have the right people in your business, so they might be a good culture fit. You like working with these people, but they might be in the wrong box. They might be doing the wrong thing. And over time, if you've had a team of folks work with you for a long time, people are going to need to move around a bit to stay interested. And the simple thing is to ask them, just, you know, what are you finding interesting? What do you want to do more of? What do you want to do less of? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you can provide them with all of those opportunities, but at least you know. And I had this in my own business, actually. I hired someone to be an office administrator and do a load of the admin tasks in my business. And I asked him one day, I said, you know, what gives you, what are the things you like to do in your spare time? Tell me all the, you know, tell me the stuff. And he is really into video editing, which was great because I suck at video editing. And I was doing my own little Instagram reels and everything. And I got carried away with special effects. And he said, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. And now we found something that he is really pumped and motivated to do. So I think understanding the needs and wants of the team will help really motivate them. And then actually there's another point there as well, which is if people are just going back into their box of just doing the thing, like following the instructions, running the SOPs, you're not necessarily going to get that creative thinking out of the team. You're not going to get the problem solving out of the team. And for you to enable that, you need to, when they come to you with a problem, you've got to resist the temptation of instantly solving it for them, which is very tempting because you're the founder. You know, it's come to you. You just want that problem to go away. And so you can just say, oh, you know, just do this thing. And so unfortunately, when you do that, you're programming them to come to you with a problem.
Think.
And you give it, not think. Right. Yeah. They're like, oh, the boss is just going to give me. And by the way, I don't identify as a boss, but you know, they're going to think, oh, I come with a problem and straight away I'll get a solution and not think. Whereas instead, I like to use the 1-3-1 framework and I just use that short, punchy, the 1-3-1. And that is, someone comes to you with a problem. So that's the one problem. Let them know that you want them to come up with options. So that might be the three options, and one might be do nothing. And then the one thing that they would do. So that's one problem, three options. And it doesn't need to be three, but it sounds good. 1-3-1, right? And the thing that they would do. So next time someone comes to you with a problem, you're like, hey, the 1-3-1, please. And they go, aha, you know. And that's not so easy to put into practice because you're time poor and you just want to go, yeah, get this thing off my plate. But over time, if you do that, then they will start to realize, oh, you know, I've got to do some thinking here. And as you build more trust in the solutions that they provide, you can zoom further out. If they're picking the option that you wouldn't necessarily agree with, don't just say, well, I would have done this. Actually, just ask them, oh, how did you arrive at that answer? Oh, okay. And ask them the things that were in your mind's eye when you thought about how to solve the problem, what led you to your own solution in your mind. And you might find that they came up with a better answer, which is perfect. You know, if you just so ask them the questions, and that is how you get them to think and really start driving solutions. But it's also a double-edged sword because you've got to make sure that this is something that you do and you give that, you make sure that time is put into place to do this. And if you don't let them do this and you just, and let's say they pick the wrong answer in your mind, you might be now
making it worse.
Making it worse, but also you've got to make failing okay. So if they go ahead and do something and you don't agree with it, you kind of got to make a little safety zone to allow them to make mistakes so that you can eventually hand over the reins. Because otherwise you just become one of those people that's going to say, oh, no, you know, you failed. No, pick another choice, pick another choice. And because they don't feel safe to fail, they won't get into that place where they can feel comfortable being creative, coming up with the solutions and being proactive.
That's a really good point because I've noticed that too. Like, some people are not comfortable. I think the best way I can describe it is they're afraid to make a mistake for whatever reason. And it doesn't mean, I'm saying this to myself, it doesn't mean you're an ogre of a boss if people are afraid to make mistakes. Some people are just built that they're really afraid to make a mistake or take a chance. They're very risk averse. And sometimes you need somebody who's going to take a small chance, not something that's going to sink your business, of course, but a small chance. And the other thing that I noticed that you reminded me of is sometimes if you're a business owner, you will notice the same mistakes happening over or not the mistakes, same problem happening over and over again. And I think when that happens enough, even as a business owner, I've tried to solve problems like that myself. And then finally, and it was recently, I went to someone who was part of these problems on the receiving end of these problems. And I sat down and I said, what can we do to make this less painful for you? And boom, it was like the light bulb went on. And I think we solved it. I mean, we just implemented a new strategy. So we're going to see. But, and I was happy to have the input because I was tired of thinking about it happening over and over again. And that was after I got to like chapter 4 in your book.
See, she's already putting it into practice.
Yeah, you've got to switch from being the person who solves all of the problems to moving to having your team do that. That's definitely the way. Moving,
Lloyd, is that one of the 9 ways?
It's in there. Yeah, I don't think that's the actual title, but that's it. Yeah, yeah.
That's the fundamental principle.
That's a fundamental. Yeah, who not how is the fundamental. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can become a bottleneck as a boss or a leader, quote unquote leader, if you don't put that into practice, because nothing can move forward, nothing can improve, nothing can be corrected unless you take the time to think about it.
And if everything depends on the business, then, I mean, you as the founder, then yeah, how can it move forward without you? And the thing is, the team also aren't psychic. They don't know what's in your mind unless you tell them. And so in one of the chapters of the book, I talk about vision, which sounds really warm and fluffy, and what does it actually mean? But it is about saying, well, this is what I would like the business to look like in the future. I'm not talking about a classic one-liner vision statement. I'm talking about painting a picture like, this is where I'd like us to go. And this is a really common problem where the founder hasn't articulated that. And we work with an SEO business, so the folks that help you rank high on Google. And the founder, I asked him about his vision, and he said, well, what I really want is this white glove service where we're going to really spend a lot of time with some high net worth clients, just a few top premium, high quality. And it's clear how he explained the vision to me. And I was like, okay, that's great. I understand that. And I asked the team, what's the vision? And they said, yeah, we need to get clients and maximize for throughput. We need to get as many clients as we can and get through. And there was a massive disconnect there.
Yeah.
And it turns out that what was in his mind was not written on paper. And as simple as that. And once that is out there and articulated, and I adhere to, I like to use a vivid vision. If someone, wants to look that up, that's a really nice way of just explaining what your vision is, what your team do and what your customers say about you and so forth, painting a picture. But if that's articulated well, then your team can help you get there. If they don't know, you're going to end up someplace else. So that's a large part of it.
And that's part of it, the overall scheme of things. Like, everybody wants to feel appreciated. Everybody wants to feel appreciated and everybody
and heard.
And heard. And every boss, I think deep down, whether they admit it or not, wants a team that's going to make them look good, right? That's kind of what you want. And as a boss, you do have to be receptive to their pain points as well. And as employees, they have to really be on board with your vision, or else they're just going to be, card punchers and only do the minimum that's required of them. And that's usually not within anybody's vision. I do want to ask you one quick question, because this is going really fast. But so entrepreneurs, if they are identifying that there's a problem, usually that problem, I think, will revolve around revenue, right? So how do you motivate an entrepreneur? So if they want to create more revenue, they think there's a problem because they're working too hard, not making enough revenue, then they're going to reach out to you and you're going to cost them money. How do you resolve that problem?
Yeah. I mean, actually, in the last 2 years, and this isn't a focus in the book, but I mean, if you're spending money on an operator, your perception is, this is a cost center, but it's a necessary evil, because what's the return on investment? The return on investment is that I, the founder, now have time to go out and shake the tree and generate new business and get new deals done. Mm-hmm. And that, as we have seen time and time again, we've pulled people out of their business, and not only has that improved their life, but that's also allowed them to create new deals. But the other thing that we do is an emerging area called revenue ops. And this is basically looking at the CRM, the customer database of that business owner, and saying, have we managed to maximize the opportunities here? Is like, and to give you an example, have the people in that customer database, are we emailing them regularly? Because if you've not been reaching out to those folks regularly, there's potentially opportunities that have been missed there. And so with revenue ops, we can put a number of processes in place that can help the business generate money. So it's not just about saving the founder time, which frees them up to be able to generate more business themselves, because the founder is quite often the best deal maker, salesperson. So that's one aspect of it. It's not just about operational efficiency, which is about getting all the operations under control and smooth, which will also lead to increased revenue, but also revenue ops, that space where what can we do so that the customer database, the CRM, the sales team and the marketing team, if you have those, all working together to make sure that every lead or prospect that you have or customer that's in your database, you've made the most out of those opportunities. And we see a number of cases where that hasn't happened. It can be simply sending out an email weekly to your list of folks so they remember, oh yeah, I know these guys, I know what they did in the past, or perhaps we're ready to speak to them. So that there's quite a few things that we can do there in terms of generating revenue opportunities that actually pays for ourselves and makes the business money.
Sounds like you enjoy what you do, Lloyd.
I do.
Yeah. I can tell.
Which is great. And I'm sure you're very effective. I can't wait to finish up the book. Right now, we have to finish up with you, Lloyd. We have been speaking with Lloyd Thompson. He is the creator of VirtualDoo.com and the author of 9 Ways to Leave Your Day-to-Day Operations and Realize Your True Vision. And that's what every entrepreneur wants, right? They want to realize their true vision, and they need a great team along for the ride to help them do that. And this book is a great tool. I'm telling you, it really is great practical advice, and you give it away for free. The audio book wasn't free, but it was worth every penny that it and we really enjoyed speaking with you. So if people want to get in touch with you, I know I do have the website correct, right? It's virtualdoo.com. Are you all over the socials, Lloyd?
I'm on the socials, yeah. And you can see me, if you see me on LinkedIn, there's a picture of me and my little dog Leo, the strategic advisory tile. So you can find me on LinkedIn as well.
Yes.
Yeah, gotta love a dog. Mm-hmm. Yeah, virtualdoo.com, like Scooby-Doo. I like that.
Yep.
Also, if you think it's, for the listener out there, if you think it's a kind of problem that you have, I do a free assessment on my website at the moment. So that's virtualdoo.com/assess. And you can have a free assessment, very quick response there.
Yeah. Everybody who's in, and before you even have the problem, you guys, if you're an entrepreneur and you haven't gotten to this point yet, like the water in the pot is only mildly warm.
You will.
Yeah, I would check it out, get that assessment, get the book. Lloyd Thompson, it was great speaking with you today.
Thank you for getting up early.
All right. Well, listen, Lloyd, again, thank you so much for joining us, like Jonna just said there, and Carol as well, and to your little buddy there, your little sidekick, rubs under the chin from the Frankenberry.
I love it.
All right.
Yeah,
and give him a little bit of a break from that bow tie. Loosen it up a little bit. You know, let him go hog dog wild.
Let him
wild.
Go free.
There we go. All right. Lloyd Thompson, thanks for joining us. It's John Spillmore. It is Carol Pesci. And, and it's this fella. And we will be right back. Segment number 3 is on the way.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's happy hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's happy hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time. Happy hour. John Spillmore, Carol Pesci, and this guy. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frank.
That was weird, but it was good. So how about the Australian guy, Lloyd Thompson there?
Well, let's start with his accent, okay?
Yeah, let's just go there. Isn't it crazy how Australian?
Is Gary John Bishop, remember he was on a show a few years back. Wasn't
Scottish.
He on a show, you too?
I think he was Scottish.
Oh,
but he had a cool accent.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
English, too. Like, I don't know why. It's like anything they say just sounds better.
It does. You want to look at them sometimes, like, you know, when you've made them angry and say, can I make you angry again? Because when you cursed at me just now, it sounded really cool.
Really elegant.
That's true.
Like, I wasn't even mad. He was cool.
And again, we need to give him a round of applause because he came to talk to us. Like, the time difference is astounding between here and there. So
he said with the original invite you sent to him would have gotten him out of bed, I think at 3 a.m. or something.
3 a.m. And we were like, what's the problem? You know, you're an entrepreneur.
Are you committed?
That's right.
But yeah. So, and again, like I said in the intro, this is a very practical show because people often think, a lot of people own, but like Carol, you own a publishing company. I own a business. There are a lot of people within the sound of our voice that own businesses. And you think, like when I started mine, which is going to be, let me do the math here, 18 years ago. 2026 will be 18 years ago that I opened John S. Spielberg Law in New York. And you often think like, oh, well, I own a business, so I can do the 4-hour work week. Right.
Yep.
And I don't have to be in my desk all the time. You know, I'll have people in charge and they'll do the things, and that ain't how it goes. But that's kind of supposed to be how it goes.
Yeah. I think people become entrepreneurs for a number of reasons, one of which is to see a vision to life.
Mm-hmm.
The belief, I think, that they'll be in control of their day and their lives.
Right.
And then as you deal with on a day-to-day basis, get mired in the demands. And I mean, I know you're amazing at what you do and your business is very successful and you provide income for some great people, but mm-hmm. you sometimes feel stuck by the demands. I mean, we've talked about this before. When was the last time you took a vacation?
Right.
So to have somebody come along with practical advice to help extricate yourself from certain aspects of your business to improve the quality of your life, that's priceless.
It is. And I've come to learn, and it's only taken almost 18 years, that it is it's a mindset shift like anything else, right? If you want to lose weight or go to the gym more, whatever, it really has to start between your ears in order for you to gain momentum and be able to do that. Like, and you know, what I mentioned is, I think when you're at least for me, when you're an entrepreneur, even if you were able to step away, and that is kind of the goal, to be able to step away at least as much as anybody else, I don't enjoy, and people have asked me this before, I don't enjoy stepping away because I don't feel like, I feel like I'm skirting my responsibility, and that's a me problem, right?
Yeah.
Well, that is, yes.
And sidebar, because you just mentioned it, you were going to give us an update. You said for somebody who wants to lose weight, you mentioned just now.
Oh, yes.
And?
Did I mention that
I meant to text you and ask you.
That I started my peptide journey. I think
you told us last show
yes,
that you were starting it, you like a day before or 2 days before.
Yeah. So
that's
let
right,
me.
You wanted to get down to a weight where if you walked out into a strong wind, you would get blown away.
Yes. That's mm-hmm. exactly the weight I want to be. So let me just tell you something about this. A lot of people who are on peptide journeys, and by that I mean the Ozempic or the Mounjaro or whatever, there's a million of them out there. Normally, the people who want to lose some serious weight, those are injectable peptide. Now, one day I'll tell you the story about how I had to get a needle one time at the doctor and I waited until I was just about to leave the office before I passed out on the floor. But so I don't do needles. So I'm taking a peptide
And yet,
another
you
show.
Will have needles stuck in your face on a regular basis.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
That's okay.
For looks. That's totally superficial.
Okay,
that's
fine. Cool. Just wanted to understand. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yep. No, priorities. So I don't do the needles with these peptides, but there is one that is sublingual. You put it under your tongue or up, I put it up in between my gum and my upper lip. And so they're not technically as effective, but I've been on this one and its main goal isn't for weight loss, but weight loss is sort of one of the effects of it. It's for aging better and stuff like that. And I've been on it for a couple weeks. And I feel great. I feel great. I feel like the scale has only moved by a couple pounds, but this is hard to describe. Like, even though the scale has only moved by a couple pounds, I look slimmer. I feel more toned. I don't have like any like weird, strong cravings for food. Like eating just the right amount is a piece of cake, no pun intended. So there are, okay. I'm sleeping like a baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there are some real benefits that I'm getting without having to do the injectables. So far, so good on this.
Yeah. I mean, I've even noticed that picture of you that you have here in Zoom that's been there for years, even that picture looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks better.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
By osmosis. So far I am recommending, I'm happy with my progress, even though it's subtle, but good.
Cool.
I would say. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right, pumpkin.
Have it with,
all right.
With that.
That sounds good. Just, you know, be careful of them. They're windy days. All right. Well, listen,
Thanks again to Lloyd Thompson for joining us today and joining us from down under and making the time to make the time because of the difference. And for Jonas Billboard, for Carol Pesci, I am this guy who some call Frankenberry, some others call other names that I'm not going to say here. And we'll talk to you again next week. Hope to, well, I won't say see you again. I won't say hear you again.
Talk at you then.
There you go. I just hope you come back. All right, you all be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonas Billboard and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.